Let it be so. Amen. All right. Today, I want to share with you a message on motherhood. I've entitled the message, Where Moms Stand. And we know that motherhood is really more of a verb than it is a noun. To be a mom is something you do, not just something you are. And so today I want to look at a passage of Scripture as our text that helps us look at Jesus' mom. And we're going to look at the three phases of motherhood as responsibilities. And we're going to see how Jesus' mom, Mary, lived out these three major seasons or stages of motherhood. Now, it applies to dads too, but specifically even more so to moms. First of all, we find that moms stand over the cradle endowing. There we see in the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God come into the flesh, the great mystery of the incarnation, Jesus is here and he comes and lays aside all of his heavenly dignity without removing his deity. And he takes on the robe of human flesh. He humbles himself so much that he is birthed into this world. He experiences everything you and I have experienced. Yet, he never sinned. He never disobeyed the Heavenly Father. But he experienced these things. And there he is, completely dependent on mom. That first stage of motherhood is endowing. You're literally providing everything this baby needs. Everything. And that season of attachment, that dependency is so innate, it's so rich. I chose this word endowing because right now we have a generation that has been endowed and they've not grown out of this phase. They're 50 years old and they still think they should be endowed. You remember in college, there are people who are so wealthy, they literally just endow a college with millions and millions of dollars, and this money pays for everything. You don't have to spend a dime on your schooling. You just go, and somebody you've never known has endowed so much money that they make so much interest off of the money that you don't even have to pay to go to some Ivy League. Do you know Harvard, by the way, that elite Ivy League school has so much endowment, they don't ever have to charge another student if they never wanted. Just the interest they make off of their investments pays so much money. No wonder some of our Ivy League universities have lost their mind. Because they don't live in the real world. They've been endowed. But you know, that's odd when you speak about a 22-year-old. But it's not that way for that precious baby. They need you. From their moments of existence, Mom, all of their nourishment literally came from you. After they're born, their first sense of health and nourishment comes from the mother's breast. They are tied in a way of dependency that God has created with mom and baby to endow that child, not only with their physical health, but also their emotional endowment, their spiritual endowment, because moms not only give life to the child, they give the wisdom of life. They give, how do you navigate this crazy, broken world, seeing God's blessing on your life, seeing the things that God has for you? Dear child, how will you live the life that God has given you? The wisdom endowed from a mother to their children. You say, my mom gives me lectures all the time. She's always telling me what to do. And God made her to do that. She is endowing you with the wisdom of God's word and pouring it into your life. And there's that stage from the very moment. There's Joseph and Mary and that humble, dependent little babe lying in a manger. If he would be warm on a cool night, it was because his mother made sure he would be okay. That's a season of life that every mom has and goes through. We need to recognize that the pendulum, I think, in our culture has swung too much for too long in this stage. Some of our young people need to, and they need to move beyond that. It's time for them to grow into adulthood. So moms, thank you for loving and embracing your child and providing for them. The second stage here after this precious stage of endowment is the stage of encouragement. Moms stand among the crowd encouraging their children. Encouraging. You've endowed them and you provided literally everything. You put the socks they were going to wear out there. You put the shirt, the pants. You've picked all their clothes. You've done that. You provided the wisdom. You provided the food, whatever they wanted. Did you want the mac and cheese and the fries, but not the nuggets and the Chick-fil-A sauce, but not the Chick-fil-A sauce, the sweet and sour sauce? You've done it all for these children. But now they're growing up. They've got to learn how to make their own decisions. And your role shifts to the encourager, to the coach, to the cheerleader, but you're one stage removed. You're in the crowd. There are other people influencing their life, but there's that clear voice of mom encouraging their child. There's a story I love. Every time I read this passage, it's just, I laugh. It's in John chapter 2. Let me go back. I put this verse up there. You can read just the introduction. You'll know the story. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Now, weddings in that day were a week-long affair. They had the ceremony, and then the entire community celebrated for a week. So in the little community of Cana in Galilee, that's why they had an engagement for 1 year. One, it took that much time for the groom to build on to the father's house and build a room for his bride to come into the father's house and be a part. You notice in that culture, they just build another layer. They just add another floor to the house. And son brings the bride into the community, to his father's house. What takes a year to do? Plus, dad's got to save all this money for this big week-long celebration. And a social faux pas happened. They ran out of wine coolers. No, you didn't serve the best stuff to them. You just kind of watered it down. Had to last all week long. But they ran out. And the story is wonderful right here. Because in verse 3, here's what I love. It says, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Jesus, they have no wine. That's all she said. At a certain point, you know, when your parent tells you, the trash can's full. See, they've moved over into the encouragement phase. The endowment phase, the teaching phase was, son, when the trash can gets full, you take the trash can, tie it up, double knot it, pull it out of the can, and take it to the trash can outside. That's the teaching phase. The coaching and cheerleading phase is, Greg, the trash can's full. You've already been taught what to do. Jesus' mom turns to Jesus and says, they have no wine. Now, verse 4 is his response. I love this. He says, now this is a term of endearment to the Jews. It's not in our culture. He says, woman. That's how in America, that's how we say in the South. That's not how Jesus said to his mama. Believe me. It's a term of endearment. Dear mom is what he's saying there in Jewish vernacular. What does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come. What he's saying is, you know I'm no more than just a mortal man. I mean, after all, the angels announced my birth to you. You have inside knowledge these people don't have, and it's not time for me to do this. Mary was saying to Jesus, they're out of wine, and it's going to be embarrassing for these people. Fix it. Jesus is saying, mom, it's going to take a chapter 2 in John. We're just starting beginning. I'm not ready for all this to be known yet. The next verse has Mary's response to Jesus. She doesn't say a word to him. She turns to the servants of the household and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. She goes back to the party. And that's all she ever says. Not this is not whatever he tells you to do, do it. Then she walks off. Oh, my son can take care of that. Watch what happens when my son comes in with two outs and bases loaded. He'll do it. We are just naturally born to encourage and cheer our kids on to do great, wonderful things for God. It is a part of what moms do. No, she wasn't telling him how to do it. He had long been past that stage. But Mary is there knowing the potential that others can't see. She knows it. She sees it. Mom, you see that potential in your children that other people will never see, and they don't see. You have a front row seat to the gifts and talents and emotional blessings of your children, and you're just moved to cheer them on. I saw parents this week cheering their children on. There's a wonderful YouTube. I almost played it for y'all. It's only about 45 seconds. You've seen it. If you've been watching any social media, you've seen this video. But I knew if I saw it, you would never remember another. If I had you see it, you would never remember another word I said because it is so hilarious. It would just of a mom on the front bleacher next to her husband watching her high school son wrestle at a wrestling match. And she stands up and literally, she is moving every move her son is doing. Hit him, grab him, and literally a mother on the other side of the match is filming her unbeknownst to her. And the lady is just laughing in the background. She can't believe it. This is a sight. This mother steps too far away from the bleacher near the wrestling match. Her husband grabs her stretchy pants and pulls her back. She's so engaged, she steps back and then whacks him right on the shoulder and starts going in. A news agency picked up on this video and had the mom and her son and did an interview with them, just a brief, quick interview. And the interviewer asked, "Were you embarrassed when your mom acts like that at your wrestling matches?" And all of us are thinking, my gosh, this guy's going to, what is he going to say now? His mom's right there. I mean, let's face it, she could pin him if she wanted to. Just as sincere, he said, you know, it just encourages me to try harder. It's been that way all my life. Right or wrong, when you see a mom go nuts in the stands, and I've seen it. I've been a dad y'all were so patient with me. Oh, my goodness, it's amazing I'm still in ministry. I didn't ever use any bad language, but, man, I was coaching from the back bleacher. And, man, I was not the ideal parent watching my kids play. But there's just something about seeing your child, you want them to succeed. And you want to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And it's just in you. It's being a mom. But this third phase, perhaps for some moms, is the hardest phase to reach. And it is the entrusting phase. And this is the theme verse of the message. Moms stand by the cross entrusting. This verse still captures my heart. Jesus has healed. He has fed thousands with a little boy's lunch. He has taught the greatest rabbis of his day truth from God that just amazed them. Thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands would throng just to hear him teach and to watch him do miracles and ministry to people. And yet, the crowd turned eventually against him, and the powers that be, as you know, jealous of his power and truth and popularity, they worked together to have him crucified and killed. Unbeknownst, they were working literally in hand with God's plan of salvation. And there, as Jesus is hung between heaven and earth, nailed to a wooden cross, crucified by the Roman government, John writes, "And there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother." All the disciples but John had fled in fear. Other women followers were there with her. But John begins this verse with just the simple acknowledgement, "And there is his mom." Mary, having provided everything the babe needed, watched and cared and successfully brought him into adulthood, cheering him on, encouraging him to do God's plan for his life, at some point also had to let go, not of her love. Love remains forever and ever. That will never change. But our role does change. And as parents, but especially as moms, we have to then entrust our child into the hands of God. Now, that's not hard when they get job promotions. And that's not hard when they marry the love of their life, wonderful Christian people, when God starts to bless them with children and you get the call to come and see the baby. Oh my goodness, how easy is that to entrust your child into the hand of God? But she's not there with Jesus at a party. She's standing by his cross. And that is the great challenge. To entrust your child when life is hard, when the crosses of life come, some that they bear because of their own decisions, and some like Jesus, because they did the right thing in a wrong world, and a wrong world opposes what is right, and they have to bear the cross, and it is hard to say, "Thy will be done, God. I trust you. I don't understand it, but I trust you." When your child gets sick in a sick world, "I trust you. God, help us." There is Mary standing by. It's hard not to want to come in and try to take control and try to revert back to the endowing stage. I can do something about this. I can change the circumstances. I will teach them more. I will tell them more. I will help them more. If we're not careful, we'll try to go back and redo something that can't be undone. That phase has passed. I was blessed with a wonderful mother-in-law, the late Ann Wise. I'm studying R.G. Lee's materials this month, and the great pastor, some of you, that would be a brand new name to you, Robert Green Lee, the famed pastor of Bellevue Baptist for many years, statesman in the turn of the century, of the last century. R.G. Lee said this of his mother-in-law, Mrs. Gentry, his wife's mother: "She never interfered with our marital matters and always graciously helpful. I remember with loving skill she met the common problems of her household. She was serene and sunny, touching the life of her home with indefinable colors and fragrance. No cactus of interference and dictation to daughter ever grew in the garden of her life as to Bob and Beulah," speaking of himself and his wife. "Remembering my wife's mother, I have never enjoyed jokes told or disparagements made of mother-in-laws. Loving Christ, her children, and her church, she died a quiet but triumphant death. No cactus of interference grew in the garden of her life as to Bob and Beulah." What was Miss Gentry doing? You don't think she had opinions about her son-in-law? He was just a young guy when they married. I mean, he wasn't perfect. Great preacher. You don't think she probably had some more things she wanted to tell her daughter how to do and when to do and what to do? But she knew it was time to entrust. And she entrusted. I had that type of mother-in-law. Bright, sharp, opinionated, yes. But when it came to my marriage and how we raised our children, she prayed for us and she loved us. And when we called and said, "Can you help us?" She said, I will be glad to. And she was there. Now, she did tease me about if I gained weight. But I loved my mother-in-law. There comes a time you have to entrust. Perhaps some of you are in that stage of life. You've coached them, you've cheered them, you've provided for them, and now they're adults. And perhaps your child is going through a difficult season. Maybe a cross they bear, maybe a cross that was put upon them unfairly. But they're going through one of those times. And you have to trust God. And what can you do? You can stand by them. You can stand by them. Wednesday, Pastor Nick sang a hymn that was written 400 years ago for our senior adult. It's as timeless as any hymn ever written. And when I had not heard that hymn in a while, and I'd forgotten just how beautiful and important the lyrics are. And it reminded me of this scene of Mary standing as a mother watching her son on a cross. It is the song, Be Still My Soul. Be still my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. We must, as parents and moms, teach our children, provide for them, show them the way. There will come a day when the lesson has been taught, and it is ours but to cheer and encourage them on. But then there will come that time that we must fully entrust them into the hands of God. Our love will remain, our support will remain, and our presence will remain. And we will trust that whatever thorny way they encounter, God will lead them to a joyful end. Now to the child with the 1 minute I have remaining. The most important thing you can do and the clearest way you can communicate your appreciation for your Christian mother is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to send her flowers, please do. Write her a card. Give her a gift. But let that be an adornment to a life that loves Jesus and is seeking to honor him. That is the precious gift a child gives to a Christian mother. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you've never given your life to Christ, we'll sing a song of praise. And if God is calling your heart to take your stand for Christ today, to turn from the old way and to place your faith in Christ, why not today? If God is calling, just simply get out of that pew and come down, take a minister, come to me, and we'll talk about it. take your stand. Some of you have already done that and you're awaiting. And you know today is the day to take your stand for Christ and follow His command of obedience and baptism. We would rejoice if God would lead you to be a part of our church. Whatever the decision is, whether private or public, we enter now into a time of decision and invitation. What would God put on your heart today? Would you bow with me as our instrumentalists come? Father, we thank you for the great privilege of knowing you and being blessed with moms who cared about us. Father, thank you. Help us emulate the good things they have left for us. Help us show more appreciation to those we have still in our life. And then, Lord, help us pass it on to the next generation. Help us pass the basic truths of your love and gospel to the next generation. Thank you, God, for moms today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you please stand? Let's sing together.